You never want to forget Hebrews 4:15 and 16, that are a continual reminder that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. But I want to give you the part where it says he was tempted in all points. That means there isn't a problem, an internal soul problem, that anyone has ever had that he didn't have to face and conquer. So you can't come to him and say, "Look, I got this dysfunction going in. I got this real problem over here. And you're God. I mean, you can't even grasp this, baby. You're perfect love." He says, "I know I am God, and I know I'm perfect love. But don't forget, perfect love took on the form of a man, came to earth, Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, and went through every temptation on the fastest 3-year track of temptation anyone could ever face. I know what you're going through. I have experienced what you're going through. And because I didn't cave, and was tempted, I am able to succor you," which is the same terminology used of a mother who comes to a howling baby, crying because it wants milk. And he says, "I can breastfeed you." If you want to, you can read when you get home Psalm 139, 1 through 6 and 13 through 16. And they talk about that he made us. He knows all about us. He knows everything that is us. He knows what we go through. And there's so many fancy scriptures, but what you need tonight is a revelation of a comforting God who understands and has been through and has come out the other side and said, "I'm able to succor you. Let me do this. Come to me. Let me. Receive from me."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He wants us to know that he stands up for us, even when others turn away. That in simple passages such as Hebrews 7:25, he ever lives to make intercession for you. That's all he does, is stand up for you. And he lives forever to stand up for you. He has never not stood up for you. You felt like no one stood up for you. You felt like God may have forgotten you. You felt this and that, but I'm telling you here and now, he ever lives to make intercession for you. There never was, never will be a time when he isn't standing up for you, even if the whole world condemns you, which is the argument of Romans chapter 8. If God be for you, who can condemn you? Here's Proverbs 18:24's friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the analogy being that your brothers are supposed to stick together, though this generation has yet to learn about that and rediscover the reality of that. He says, "I am the one who will stick closer to you than that person who sticks closer than your friend. You're your brother. I'm your best of friends. I will stick with you." I think that someone needs to know tonight God's going to stick with them, and he won't let them down. You need to let that heal you.
Yes.
This is not poetry up in here. This is not a Shakespeare class. Who can read this best? No, it's receiving the comfort from the God of all comfort, knowing he understands. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He cares. He feels your pain. His love has us all covered. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, where it says, love covers a multitude of sins. It's not just being cute. He's talking about God.
Yeah, amen.
The blood covers the mercy seat. He has covered you. "Oh, I've been through stuff and been so hurt and so embarrassed." I know you have. Thank Mr. Devil and his cohorts. God never once peeled back the blood at the foot of the cross and said, "Look at him. Look at her." What? He never has done that. You know, he can't. That's why he gave us the analogy for 1,500 years of the Old Testament covenant, where that mercy seat stood there, covered in gold with a cherubim, picturing the presence of God looking down, and the law underneath it, and the manna in there to remind you that even in the wilderness times, God will take care of you. And the rod, the budding rod of Aaron, to say when God anoints someone, respect it, because it's God's choosing. He bears the almond fruit. And then what did they do? They covered that mercy seat with the blood. It was always to be covered. And he went in every year to cover that thing in blood, so that the Old Testament saints would get it in their heads. God looking down from heaven has you covered. How much more so should we receive consolation who are new creation believers and have seen in the Christ and the cross the blood freely flowing to shed us, by which we have overcome. It covers us. We are covered. God has you covered.
Amen.
I don't care how embarrassed you are. I don't care how hurt you are. God never did it, and he's got you covered. Well, I'm so afraid and embarrassed, I don't want to confess what I did wrong. I don't know where to look. I'm hiding my head. You're acting like Adam and Eve because you're feasting on the knowledge of good and evil, and you've got yourself figured and judged and condemned. And you think we're just like you. We're treating you the same way, and you're full of nonsense. I love you, but you're listening to the devil, who's the liar. We are not treating you that way. We've been given this particular commandment to look no one after the flesh, to know no one after the flesh, to not experience them or acknowledge them in the flesh, and to recognize when we see them in the flesh who they are in the spirit, who they are in Christ. And though sometimes our language betrays that commitment and that ideal, it is really us. You are the one feeling condemned. You are the one embracing ridicule and judgment. You're the one, not us. We aren't creating that environment. It's all in you. Let go of the shame.
Amen.
You will not find your condemner standing around you saying, "Let's throw the stone." We will always come back as Jesus came back. Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. You are in an environment of love in your Christian homes. You're in an environment of love in our churches. And I tell you here and now, God has got you covered. It's a safe place. We have got one another covered. It is the greatest jewel of our faith. So why do you not let the God of comfort come in? Who can be afraid of saying, "I have needs" in such a thing? Before such a God of comfort, who can be afraid of saying, "I failed there"? Who can be afraid of saying, "I have regrets"? Who has to do any more hiding? We can come out of the shadows, free-born and clean-born because of Christ. And I'll tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. God never stops helping us all, even when we aren't very good at it in helping ourselves. He never stops helping us, even when you aren't that good about it. Even when you let yourself down. Philippians 1:6 changed my life as a kid. And I was 18 years of age, read Philippians 1:6 and said, "That has got to be it." That's why I knew I was eternally secure. "He who's begun a good work in me will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ." Let's get something straight. Who begun the good work? Jesus. Who's going to perform it? Jesus. Until when? The day of Jesus Christ. He's in the whole thing. And what is the day of Jesus Christ? The resurrection, when I stand before him. He ain't quitting on me till I'm through the resurrection and on the other side of judgment. Amen. He's not quitting till I'm completely seen as acquitted.
Hallelujah.
It is the truth.
Amen.
He's not going to let you down. He's got you covered, and he is not going to stop helping you. Even when you sit down and you quit and say, "I've had it, I'm through with me." You see, you're not so through with us as you are with yourself. "I'm through with myself." Well, I'll tell you what, no one's ever been completely through with you, because God never has been through with you. He's not going to be through with you till you got to the other side of the resurrection, the other side of the judgment. You've been acquitted and shown to be a new creation, son or daughter of God, and you are in the new creation church, in the new heaven and the new earth. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen,